Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, all of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. As promised, we're going to jump right back into a section that we began yesterday, but I didn't feel that we had enough time to effectively explain it. This man by the name of Demetrius is a wealthy man, and the reason he's wealthy is he makes silver shrines for people that worship at the Temple of Diana, and he's seeing a marked decrease in sales because people are being saved and they're turning from idols. And not only is this happening in Ephesus, but it's happening around all of Asia. And Demetrius kind of puts it upon himself to call all the members of his guild together and say, guys, you know, as you know, this is really bad because we're losing a lot of money. And he says, and, you know, it's bad because, you know, people aren't worshiping Diana, which I find it very interesting that his emphasis is the money. But then he says, oh, and by the way, you know, we want people worshiping Diana, too. You almost can see his motives, can't you?
You sure can.
So verse 28 is where we're going to pick up today. The Bible says, and when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. Now, so in other words, they're showing this loud, unified solidarity with the religion of the day, which is the religion of the temple at Diana, which is one of the seven wonders of the world, an amazing thing. You can see the ruins today in Ephesus, amazing. Okay, but what's the point? The point is that real Christians have made real separation from not only false religion, but really from society in general, because in order for one to even be accepted in society and in his working class, his respective guild, he had to participate in temple worship. And these people, these Christians, had all said, no, we worship the true God. And if that means we lose money, if that means we get persecuted, so be it. We are following Christ.
You know, this was a bold move for them as believers to turn their back on Diana. And essentially, a lot of people looked at that as them turn their back upon their city. Hey, Ephesus is known for this temple of Diana. You know, you ought to count it a privilege to live here and be able to be right where the temple's at and be part of all this process. But these believers says, no, we don't want any of that process because we know that Christ is our Messiah and we want to follow him wholeheartedly.
The problem with any protest or unified public display like that of Acts 19, the problem is that the leaders feared that the most. And the reason for that is they are in the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire has one goal, and that is to maintain the peace of the nation so that they can continue to collect their tax money and continue to do their thing. And the thing that Rome frowned upon the most was any kind of upheaval or political embroilments, and that's what's happening here. So the leaders of Ephesus are going to get really nervous in a hurry.
Yeah, we've seen throughout the Gospels with Pilate how he feared what Rome would do, and we've seen in the book of Acts already. And so you're right, Pastor. They know they better do something to squelch this quickly
because you've got all of these silversmith makers, these idol shrine makers that have unified now that are making a really big public scene. And it says in verse 29, and the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. So, the city is confused. People are just beside themselves. And now to kind of exacerbate the situation, they've actually captured Aristarchus and Gaius, who no doubt are teachers, and they're with the Apostle Paul. They're known as leaders of the way or Christianity. And they're being brought in, which is further going to incite the opposition.
And I think now we have this mob mentality. And when you get a mob mentality like this, anything is possible. They could even kill somebody. They really are just has a life of its own, so to speak, now. And things are not looking very good in Ephesus.
And they run to the theater. So that tells you that thousands of people are now gathering. And now there's a place for this spectacle. And the Bible says in verse 30, and when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. So Paul was, man, you have to admire his boldness. Here's a man that's been beaten. Here's a man that's been left for dead. Here's a man that has been mocked and cruelly entreated. And yet when push came to shove, he's willing to march into that theater, into that ravenous crowd, and just face the music.
I think Paul, he sees his friends here taken away and taken in there. And you have to admire the heart of Paul and his desire to see right be done.
And you also have to admire the heart of these disciples that said, Paul, no, 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 no. And, you know, it's good in life to have people that love you and love God that surround you. Because sometimes in the moment, you want to do something. In the moment, you want to respond, you want to react. And that's not always the best decision. And to be surrounded by people that love God, but also love you, is a good thing. It's in the multitude of those kinds of counselors that there's going to be safety. And that was literally true here for the Apostle Paul.
And it's a good thing that Paul listened to them. And, you know, sometimes people get so headstrong, we're going to do what we want to do no matter what. But God does bring counselors into our life, and we need to have humility to listen to their good advice.
We sure do. The Bible says in verse 31, and certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. So not only were the disciples saying, Paul, this is not a good idea, but there were also some political officials, people that had some positions in the city, and Paul had developed some friendships. They respected him, who also appealed to him and said, Paul, this would not be the best idea.
It does show us the clout that Paul had in that area by these religious, by these political leaders that did look at him as a friend.
Absolutely. And the Bible says that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And as much as lies within us, we should be at peace with all men. The Apostle Paul always had a very respectful attitude toward government officials, even though many times they mistreated him. It just gives you, I think, what you just said, John, just another look at this amazing man, Paul.
He's a good example to us about how we ought look at our political officials and don't look at them with necessarily antagonistic thinking.
But poor Gaius and poor Aristarchus are right in the middle of all of it. And the Bible says in verse 33, and they, verse 32, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly were confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. That to me is one of the funniest verses in the entire chapter. So you've got this mob rule, hundreds, thousands of people, and some are shouting this and some are shouting that, and no good can come out of this. This is not the venue for argument. This is not the venue for healthy debate. This is just people yelling and screaming. And the Bible says there's a bunch of people there that don't even know why they're there.
It reminds us so well of just a mob mentality. People get frenzied up, don't even know what they're doing sometimes.
Right. I don't know what I believe in, but someone's breaking into the store and I need a new pair of Nikes, so I'm going in, you know?
Exactly.
That kind of mentality. Like, I don't really care. I don't have a view one way or the other. I don't even know what this is all about, but I'm going to be an opportunist in the middle of it.
That is for sure, beyond doubt, what's happening here right now.
There is nothing new under the sun.
There is not.
So the Bible says that as all of this confusion and all this murkiness prevails, verse 33, and they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice about the space of 2 hours cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." So what do you make of that, John, that they at one point at least wanted to hear from a representative? And they call this Alexander.
It is interesting that some of the people there realize, hey, this is getting out of hand. We got to do something to kind of quell this. You know, this is not good. We got to stop this and try to listen to a voice of reason. So I'm sure they put Alexander up trying to be a voice of reason to speak to the people. But the people, when they find out he is a Jew, will have none of what's going on here.
Right. So they it's like they've pre-decided. We don't want people to hear a reasoned argument. We don't want people to hear about the other side. We have one goal, and that goal is we want our business back.
Right.
We want to be able to get our profit back. And if we let him speak to this crowd, this might have worked out worse for us.
Yes.
So what do? They just shout him down. For 2 straight hours. I mean, have you ever been at a ball game, John, where people are repeating a cheer, you know, like, go team, go team, go to whatever. But can you imagine for 2 straight hours just shutting this whole thing down by screaming the same thing?
Yeah, it would be... without a doubt, a lot of headaches happening. This would just be unbelievable, unreal, yelling for so long, for so loud, the same thing over and over.
And it just shows you the illegitimacy of their position. They weren't looking for the truth. They weren't looking for equal time. They were just had this kind of this might makes right mentality. We've got the crowd. We've got the volume. And we're gonna shut this thing down.
You know, we see mobs like that today where people, they don't really want to listen to the issues. They want to just have their voice raised louder than anybody else's. And often they talk about, hey, you know, is we fine even here? You know, they act like they want to do things on the side of right, but they're really only interested in pressing what they want to the detriment of everything else.
It's a good principle for us to understand. And that is when reason takes on emotion, emotion always wins. So if you're in an argument with somebody and it has digressed to an emotional argument where people are firmly held passions, in this case, this was tied to their income. And this wasn't about the truth. This was about maintaining my income. Sometimes it's about defending my honor. Sometimes it's about not looking bad. Sometimes it's about somebody that I'm protecting. And the truth doesn't matter. You know, blood is thicker than water. We say things like that. And so even in the ministry of Jesus, Pilate made the mistake of trying to reason with the Jewish leaders. And they didn't want rationale. But what should I do with Jesus? I mean, I've offered you Barabbas or Jesus. It would be unreasonable for you to choose Jesus over Barabbas over Jesus. And yet they did. But what should I do with this Jesus? Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. The crowd just emotionally carried the day.
Yeah, and we've seen it throughout history. We see it in the Bible here, other places in Scripture where people just yell louder. I think back in the Old Testament, whenever the men of Judah and the men of Israel are fighting over bringing David back, and they're arguing about, you know, who had the right, who did this first. And it talks about the men of Judah, you know, yelling more loudly to finally they won the day. And sadly, too often things like that do happen where people just yell long enough, loudly enough, and people give in to them.
Yeah, I mean, you see that throughout history. It doesn't have to be the truth, but if there's power behind it, if you say it loud enough, often enough, with enough people, you can win the day. And I wonder sometimes if that mentality hasn't unwittingly entered the pulpit, where people just say things louder or say things repetitively, or, hey, let's all say this. It doesn't make it any more true. And we need to be people that are centered on seeking and discovering the truth, not people that are simply repeating catchphrases.
Yeah, it reminds me of seeing this mob pastor about that we need to know what we believe, why we believe it, talk intelligently, and speak the truth in love. Have a heart for people, speak compassionately, but speak boldly for Christ.
Well, we're going to find out what happens next episode with these people that are just shouting their lungs out for 2 hours. Well, how does this all end? How does this possibly benefit the gospel? What is God trying to teach us in all of it? I hope you come back. I hope that you'll sit in another episode and let's not only finish this story, but let's finish this chapter together as we continue our study of the book of Acts. God bless you, my friends. Thanks for joining us. Hope you have a great day in the Lord.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.